Good morning. I'm Dan Brown, your August representative from the Church Council. As we worship, indeed as we live, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witness to our Lord Jesus Christ, so we can lay aside every weight and sin. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through radio broadcast on KCHK, and all who join us online at zionlesueur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, prayer requests, and if you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored in honor of Paul and Mary Brown's, what would have been their 75th anniversary yesterday. Thank you to all those who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled, Which Turkey Would You Rather Dance With? By Pastor Jan. August is Zion's Food Shelf Month. Volunteers are needed to help at the food shelf. There's a sign-up sheet on the table. The food shelf is also accepting donations and school supplies for local students. Bring your donations to Zion through the month of August. On Sunday, September 14th, Zion members who've reached the age of 90 or older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark the date on your calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. The Zion bell choirs and adult choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, please contact Pastor Susan. Rehearsals begin on September 10th. Please submit items for the Zion Herald by Wednesday, August 20th. Your financial support to the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
Good morning. You may have noticed that I am not Pastor Jan. Unfortunately, she is home ill this morning, so welcome to the amateur hour. I would like to thank Art and Barb for providing our music, and Alexandra Brown and John Piaski for helping out with the service, as well as Sam Jones on the computer. Please join me in the call to worship. We gather today to worship God, who is merciful and just. That we are called to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Christ is the friend of the poor and those who are oppressed. Let our voices break forth in song and our hearts be united in praise. Please rise if you are able for our opening hymn, "We're Across the Crowded Ways of Life," number 543. Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of confession. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. These also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. And free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As stated in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At this time, as is our tradition, please greet each other with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Good morning. At this time, we're going to turn our hearts in prayer, and I want to lift up a couple special prayer requests. First, of course, we want to pray for Pastor Jan and her recovery to get better and be back with us next week. Also, we want to pray and keep in our hearts all these kids and the teachers who are going to be going back to school this coming week, the new year and new adventures. And also prayers for our church and the church council in the process of finding an interim minister to fill in once Pastor Jan steps down in October. Also, I had another one that we're all aware of is for the police officer who passed away this past week. And to lift up also for those who die by their own hand. So at this time, let's put our hearts and minds in a time of prayer, and first deal with our silent prayers. Lord, we pray for those in our faith community we call Zion, as well as the broader community we live in. We pray and lift up Pastor Jan that she may heal and be back with us. For all the kids going back to school, prayers for the church council as they seek to find an interim minister for us. Lord, we also pray for the officer who this past week passed away and for all those who take their lives with their own hand. Lord, we lift up in prayer John Lave for continued healing and recovering, as well as Stu Kringen for continued recovery. We pray for little Hilda Kale to give her continued strength and be with her parents and let them know that you are with them all and always. We pray for those who have lost loved ones in this past year. Comfort them with your love and wrap your loving arms around them each day. These loved ones have passed on to be with you, but will never be forgotten in the hearts and minds of their family, friends, and community. Heavenly Father, we come before you this Sunday morning with hearts full of gratitude for the gift of this new day and for your unwavering love and mercy that are renewed each morning. We ask that you give us an undistracted heart, Lord, and help us to focus our minds and the soul on you and your glory. Please quiet the worries of the week ahead and any distractions that may pull our attention away from your presence. Bless our time together as we gather in your sanctuary. Unite our hearts in love as we worship you through song, as we listen to the truth of your word. May your Holy Spirit move among us, granting us wisdom and a renewed spirit to each person here. We pray for your guidance and protection as we navigate this new week, Lord. Help us to leave behind all the worldly thoughts and cares and receive instruction from your word and inspiration from your spirit. Grant us the strength to serve others and to be a beacon of your love and peace to the world around us. We commit this day to you, Lord, and ask that everything we do may bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
First reading, Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praise to our God, for he is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers the outcasts of Israel, he heals the brokenhearted, and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power is his understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our Lord on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow in the hills. He gives to animals their food, and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Amen.
The Gospel, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Alexandria. The message this morning, written by Pastor Jan, is entitled "The Rescue of Deputy Moon, A View from the Side of the Road." And we thought the Henderson detour on Bridge Street was bad. We've learned to live with it, but it's nothing like the road to Jericho. The 17-mile stretch of road between Jerusalem and Jericho was one of the most dangerous roads in the ancient world. Jericho was a city of commerce, so the road saw a lot of travelers, but it wasn't your usual business trip. From an altitude of 2,500 feet above sea level to 800 feet below sea level, the road from Jerusalem to the busy city of Jericho was a descent of about 3,300 feet, and every inch of it passed through rugged, rocky terrain. It wasn't just the physical features that made the Jericho road so treacherous, though. All those rocky ditches and outcroppings provided hiding places perfect for robbers. The Romans knew about its reputation for crime and posted soldiers about halfway through the passage. You and I probably wouldn't walk through certain areas of Detroit or Chicago, even if we knew there were a couple of police officers 5 miles away. People only used the Jericho Road if they really had to, because it was the only way to get there. The winding road in this story is almost as important as the human characters. In a way, the winding, rugged road itself is a parable all its own, a symbol for life in the world. In telling this parable, Jesus could have chosen just about any location for the story, but it was this place that was important. Everybody knew how bad it was. It's a great metaphor, isn't it? Life is full of high points, milestones, and new beginnings, to be sure. But roadblocks and tragedy may also come our way. The people in this story from the gospel remind us of people we already know. The people who hurt others, the people who get hurt, and the people who walk by. Nobody in this story gets through life with a pass. Priests, professionals, injured people, and the villains, bad things, sometimes terrible things, can happen on the road of life. One of the reasons the parable of the Good Samaritan is considered one of the most beloved stories is because it transcends time and location. It could easily have happened in any place and any time period in history. Today we can bring this parable into the 21st century and consider 4 men that looked like they could have jumped out of the pages of the gospel story for today. Men accused of crimes and wound up in jail in Florida. Jerry DeGioia's charged with armed home invasion. David Schofield, aggravated assault. Terrence Carswell, robbery and drug dealing. And Hoang Vu, attempted murder. Not exactly the kind of guys you want on the trustees or the endowment committee, right? Don't worry. The trustees aren't going to be calling them to volunteer, and they won't be teaching church school either. These are the kind of guys who were lurking in the shadows along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And yet, just when you think you have the cast of characters all figured out, The gospel story this morning puts a new light on the good guys and the bad guys. Just who are they anyway? As Jesus told the crowd, sometimes it's not always easy to tell them apart. More about these mugshots in a minute. After the traveler attacked, beat, and left naked along the road, Jesus tells his listeners that a priest happened by and saw the man. Now there was as many as 12,000 priests in that part of Palestine, but being too busy with his religious work, he rushed ahead and left the man still bleeding in the dust. Then along comes the scribe. He was part of the intellectual elite, a combination of professor, lawyer, and accountant. He also saw the injured man and hurried away. According to the law, if anyone so much as touched the injured man, he would be defiled, so he would be unfit for work. He can't blame them for following the rules, so let's not be too hard on the priest and the scribe. They were too busy, too afraid, and didn't want to miss work. Doesn't that sound familiar? One of the things to love about the parables Jesus told is that we always want to identify with the hero in the story. We love the widow giving her little coins. We can relate to the father in the story of the prodigal son. We appreciate the gratitude of the one leper out of the 10 who came back to say thanks. Those are the people who inspire us. When Jesus told these parables, he made it easy for people to relate to the characters. Everybody wants to be a hero, or at least the good guy. But the hero in this story today is not someone the people in the crowd probably would have wanted to be. In fact, the hero of the story created a big problem for the young lawyer and the Pharisees who were listening that day. The problem is, in the time of Jesus, the people of Samaria were rejected. They were social outcasts. They belonged to a race of people who were traced all the way back to King Ahab and Jezebel. Remember them? Samaritans polluted the bloodlines because they intermarried with Assyrian foreigners. They were a faithful Jew. You'd want nothing to do with them. To get an idea just how offensive it might have been, just substitute any of the people in our society who are the outcasts. The homeless man on the street, an IRS agent, the kid at the mall covered with tattoos, a Democrat, a Republican, an undocumented alien, a trans person. Now, if you were the one injured along the side of the road, how would it feel to be cared for by one of these people? That is what Jesus wants us to see here. Sometimes we are the ones alongside the road. We're the ones who are in the ditch, looking up into the eyes of people who are different from us. After years of reading this beloved story and holding it dear, is it possible to see ourselves in the man in this parable who is the victim? And can it be that the voice of our precious Savior, whose blood was shed for us, still speaks to the church, to America, still cries out for his church to be healed, to schools and businesses and neighborhoods all around this country, still holding up the mirror of his truth and in this story to us? Do you see what Jesus is trying to tell the crowd that day? It's not what you believe or how much you know, like the Pharisee and the scribes. It's what you do when the moment comes. Remember the guys whose mugshots you saw on the screen today? Sometimes even the people we least expect can rise to the full measure of human goodness. Let me explain. Ken Moon was the acting deputy of the Orient Road Jail in Tampa, Florida. He was sitting at his desk one night when one of the prisoners attacked. Deputy Moon was 64. The inmate was 24. And Deputy Moon had another disadvantage. He was the only officer in the jail pod that holds 62 inmates. The only people close enough to help were there because they had been charged with crimes. Now remember, those four guys you saw earlier, they all have something in common. They saved Deputy Moon's life. The first one to step in was Jerry Diegos. When he saw Deputy Moon in a chokehold, he ran behind the desk and knocked the attacker down, taking the deputy with him. Huang Vu and Terrell Carswell were next to come for backup. While Diaz, Vu, and Carswell kept the attacker away from the deputy, another inmate came charging over. David Schofield, who was in jail on aggravated assault and battery charges, reached over to the deputy, took his radio, and called for help. Eventually, police backup arrived, but without their help, Deputy Moon would have died. He would have died. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the young lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus was saying, in effect, there are people walking down the road of life who have every advantage. They have great learning. They have financial security. They don't break the law, and yet when they see suffering, they are underwhelmed. They do not care. Those are the ones who have not only left their neighbor in the ditch, but also God himself. Jesus shocked the crowd a second time in casting the Samaritan as the hero of the story. Jesus also tells us there is more to human character than meets the eye. It's more than the clothes we wear, the car we drive, and it tends to come to the surface in a moment of crisis. So ultimately, the take-home message of this story is not about who's up and who's down, who's the good guy and who's the villain. It's really not. It's about a mystery you and I all have, the wisest scholars of the world have never been able to explain. How God's love is poured out like oil and wine on good people and the not-so-good people, the PhD and the eighth-grade dropout. God's amazing grace was as big a scandal then as it is now, and you and I just stand back, sometimes reeling in that mystery. We may find that hard to understand, but we can't have a God of the universe without it. We truly can't. His love either resembles our own feeble attachments, or it reaches out from the highest heaven into the lowest hell. The story had an open ending. We never find out what the young lawyer did, except we know he walked away. So the gospel leaves us today with an answer and a question. Who is lying alongside the road in our part of the world? And who will be the one to do likewise? Let us hope it will be us. Amen. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. God of all mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. We give you thanks that by your generosity to us, we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. And now I see I messed up. We skipped a hymn. Would it be possible, Art and Barb, to back up and do that hymn that was supposed to be after the message, or does that mess up your book and Sam too? It looks like we're good to go. The hymn is "What I Have Answered When You Called." It's on the insert in your bulletin. Now the benediction. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Now let us join together in the closing hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Thank you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah.